Welcome to The Natural View. I'm Maggie Jaqua. I am the co-host of Whole Foods Magazine's Natural View podcast. And I have a special co-host with me today, Heather Wehner. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you, Meg?
Good, good. And we are here with Steve Mister from CRN. Welcome, Steve. We are actually at CRN's big event, which is Science in Session, was yesterday. And today is the Now New Next. And we've really had a morning of just fantastic content, fantastic speakers and sessions. It's all very exciting. And I want to ask you a lot about that. But first, for anybody out there who might not be familiar, and I think most of our readers are, but if you could just tell us who CRN is and what you guys do.
Sure. Well, CRN, the Council for Responsible Nutrition, we're the industry trade association for the dietary supplement and functional food industry. And as you may know, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary at this conference. So we've been around now since 1973, hopefully protecting the industry and growing the industry on behalf of our members.
Yes, congratulations. What a great milestone.
That is amazing. So that tees us up perfectly too. Could you let us know some of the history?
Oh, sure. Well, I don't want to give too much away because I'm going to be speaking tomorrow, but it really is an interesting 50 years. We were founded as part of a movement to react to FDA overreaching. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And a group of companies came together because they wanted there to be a reasonable voice that recognized that there certainly is room for some regulation in the industry. You can't have an industry without guardrails and expect it to be the $60 billion that we are today. But they also knew that FDA was going too far, and they wanted to have a rational way to approach FDA. And that's how we started. And that has really been a mantra that has carried on through CRN for 50 years. We always approach things asking, what's the science? That's our mantra, the science behind the supplements. What's the science? What is the best policy for consumers? Is there a way that we can resolve this with industry self-regulation? Is this something we can do for ourselves? And if there isn't, then what is the least restrictive way to get government to come in and address the problem, create some ground rules, keep the bad actors at bay? And that's always been what's driven us. And if you look at any of the major events over the last 50 years for the industry, that's been the template that we've applied.
Well, let's talk major events, because we had a seminar this morning with Dr. Robert Califf from FDA, and kudos to you for really driving for those answers. Yes. Can you give us some of your major takeaways from that session?
I guess one of the things that I heard him say was that we're not going to see a lot more regulation out of the industry, or a lot of more regulation of the industry out of FDA, because there is no resource mechanism to make that happen. I was a little concerned. I heard him mention user fees in other industries, and I think that's certainly not something that we're interested in having a conversation around user fees, but I was a little disheartened, I guess, because it does not sound like we're going to get the level of attention at the agency that I think this industry deserves, given that 3 out of 4 of Americans are using our products. Now, we also heard that he's part of that 1/4 of Americans that does not
hear that.
I was a little disappointing to hear that as a cardiologist and a healthcare professional, that he doesn't really see the value in the products. But I think that for me was a big concern. Now, I think equally important was when we started to talk about the reorganization at FDA, he said very emphatically, no reduction in resources, no reduction in staff, no reduction in attention. So I think it will be interesting 6 months from now, a year from now, if the reorganization does go through, are they good with their word? Do they really mean that? But I think for us, we're really concerned that as little attention as we're getting at the agency now, we may get even less under the reorganization.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern and something that CRM will definitely be watching and working towards. Can you talk about some of kind of the major pain points, major concerns with FDA? I mean, FTC, I know recently you put out some information on that. What are some major topics that we need to be focusing on, and what are CRM's action plans there?
Sure. So let's start with the Federal Trade Commission. I think the concern there is this new guidance they have around advertising for health products, which includes dietary supplements. And there's a difference between what they say and what they do. So if you read the guidance, it really would suggest that all healthcare products, regardless of the nature of the claim, would require randomized clinical trials in order to support the claim. And if you don't have those, you can't make the claim. In informal conversations with the agency, they say, well, that's not really what we meant. And it really, you know, we're gonna have enforcement discretion on where we focus our resources. But for us, the problem is that there's a guidance out there that says one thing, and that's pretty, pretty strong. And it does not reflect, in fact, what the courts have said about structure function claims. Mm-hmm. So as you know, we've just recently filed a citizen's petition where we address these issues, and we've asked the FTC to come into a dialogue with us. Again, we're not looking for a scorched earth kind of approach to the Federal Trade Commission. We're looking to sit down and have a frank conversation about what are they doing and does the guidance reflect how they're actually enforcing laws. That's FTC. FDA, there's just a number of things right now. Of course, the reorganization is getting our attention. We want to be sure that it doesn't negatively affect the Office of Dietary Supplement Programs. But I think a bigger concern for us is this whole issue of drug preclusion. And this is the provision in the law that says that if you're, you know, if you're a pharmaceutical and you get to market first, you get a monopoly over the ingredient. And what we have seen is that while it made some sense in 1994 that they wanted to protect all of that investment that goes into pharmaceuticals, what has happened since then is that it's being interpreted in a way that changes the balance and it unfairly tilts towards pharmaceuticals. So they are definitely supporting innovation on that side of the marketplace, but they're not doing anything to equally support innovation for dietary supplements. And as we saw with you know, NMN recently, the folks made the product, went to FDA, got a non-objection letter, and then 4 months later, FDA said, well, no, we got it wrong. We missed some research. And so this idea that companies could be invested in an ingredient, and then there's a double secret date as to when the IND was, you know, was originally filed with the agency that no one knows about, you could put a lot of money into that. You could invest in not only the safety and clinical research, but then even into the marketing of it, and then find out that you have to pull the product. So we're really concerned about that. We've had conversations with FDA. Again, I think the first step is to try to get the agency to work with us on that. We have a citizen's petition in where we've asked FDA to reconsider its views. But if that doesn't work, then there are other options too. And whether that ends up being legislation or litigation, you know, we'll have to figure out what the approach is. But at the end of the day, I think we're going to have to change the statute, because things that we thought were very clear in the way it was worded apparently are not that clear to FDA. So we may need to go in and fix it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lot. I can agree with you.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about CBD and probiotics.
Exactly. I know you brought up CBD this morning, and we did talk about that. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about where your stance is on that?
I think we're at an impasse with the agency on CBD, and that's why we have focused all of our attention these days to Congress. Mm-hmm. It's very clear to us that FDA is dug in, and we fundamentally disagree with their position. They're taking this viewpoint that CBD cannot be effectively regulated through the dietary supplement channel and the framework that goes with that. They've never tried to do it. So how would they know whether it works or not? They and many of the things that they say they need to effectively regulate the marketplace, these are the reasons that they're putting up for, you know, a new center at FDA, are actually things that they already have that authority under DSHEA, but they're not using it. So for us, we understand inhalables, you know, those sorts of things are outside of the purview of dietary supplements. But for CBD, that can be sold in the absence of THC, can be sold as an ingestible, why not use the framework that you have, rather than try to go out and recreate
this? And it became very clear in the talk this morning with Dr. Caleb that was just such a different way of thinking about it.
Well, and again, we wanted to be respectful in the conversation this morning with Dr. Kaleff. But the suggestion that they don't have any data to support the safety of CBD, it's just, frankly, it is incorrect.
Yes, we've supplied so much.
CRM has actually given them data. Many of our members have given them data. And there's new data coming out. You know, there was a new study published recently that looked at what are upper safe levels. So there is a lot of information out there that FDA could rely on to create a safe marketplace for CBD. And for whatever reason, they are just choosing not to.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so since we talked about a lot of negativity, and obviously it's, which is unfortunate, and pretty much where our lives go in this industry, but we know there are some bright spots, and obviously the bright spot is that we are celebrating CRN's 50th. Next year, you did bring up 1994, next year is the 30th anniversary of the Shag. Mm-hmm. So do you see any bright spots on the horizon?
Yes. So, one of the things that CRN, and I mentioned this earlier, has always championed is industry can be responsible and do the right thing with self-regulation. And we're seeing that right now with our member companies, because if you recall, there was the piece in JAMA earlier this year with melatonin and gummies. Mm-hmm. And our members took notice of that. And we now have two working groups, one around gummy form products and another that's specific to melatonin. We're developing voluntary programs for the industry that, again, we think we can demonstrate, look, we don't agree with that study, but it shows that we have some vulnerability with consumers. Let's do some things to give consumers added assurance. So I'm very excited about those programs as a way to demonstrate that we can be responsible.
Yeah, that's really showing the work that CRN is putting in. Can you talk about some of the value of membership, why people should be thinking about joining their trade organizations?
Sure. Well, I think there is a sense that the trade association is the rising tide that lifts all boats. And so for some companies, they can sit on the sidelines, let other companies do the work of the trade association, and all boats will rise. And so I can be a free rider. To some extent, that is true. That is a function that trade associations do. But I think what that misses is all of the things that we do at CRN that are uniquely for our members. And so if you're not a member of CRN, you're not getting the early notices about positive and negative media that may be happening. You're not getting the benefit of our intelligence of what's going on social media and what's trending and when there are, everything from the berberine, watching the spikes there, to some of the negative stories that have been out there, and watching spikes in social sharing of those stories. Our members get that kind of intelligence that you're not getting if you're a member. You're getting a seat at the table to not just know that there may be changes coming to Deshae, but actually have input into what those changes are, because we're very much driven by our members and they set our policy. So they're the ones that are sitting down now saying, what are the five or six things that we would want in a reform bill? What are the must-haves? What are the things that we would like to have, but we would trade away if we had to? All of those things are things that happen in the trade association, and you're not at the table and you don't even know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you talked about kind of looking ahead a little bit. So so some of these things you've mentioned will certainly be lingering into 2024. We're not close to resolution on some of these. But is there anything else bubbling to the surface that maybe we should be keeping our eye on or raising awareness within the industry?
Where to start? I think, we also have some outreach to our major retail partners. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something that's going to continue to happen. The retailers have, I think, lost patience with FDA, mm-hmm. and are developing their own programs and their own standards and their own testing requirements. But with that comes the potential that you'll have multiple requirements that are inconsistent. And as some of our members say, you have audit tourism with a constant string of inspectors coming through your facility, because one week it's Costco, the next week it's Target, the next week it's Walmart. So we're doing some things to try to get the retailers to coalesce their standards, to accept each other's requirements. I think that's a really interesting thing that, again, trade associations can do, because we can collectively encourage the retailers. Yes, we want you to curate your shelf. We want you to be, in a sense, the police of what goes up there. But we don't want to create unnecessary burdens for the responsible company so that they have to jump through 10 hoops when three would suffice.
I love that, because those are our readers, obviously, our retailers. Obviously, there's a big conversation today about e-commerce, and there's a few companies that only do e-commerce. And that's, you know, that is a concern for the retailers as well. So the fact that you are working with retailers, and they do say brick and mortar is growing. So
did hear from Kristen Hornberger, who was with Circana, and, and a lot of her data
was amazing.
I think, you know, if you're a traditional retailer, that's very encouraging to see that there is a resurgence of consumer interest. They want to go back to a store where they can talk to somebody. I think we all felt like maybe in 2020 and 2021, that once people move to the online ways of buying things, they would never come back to retail. And what we're seeing is that no, people want that interaction. They want to have a conversation with somebody in the store. They want to talk about, here's what I'm looking for. What's the right product? And the retailers are the ones who can have that conversation.
Yeah, the community stores who really want to look out for the well-being of their community too. We work with a lot of the local retailers. So we love to see that news for them.
Yes. That was amazing. And of course, a lot of the big stores are behind as well. So that was very promising for sure.
And I think if you're a smaller retailer and you're trying to figure out how you're going to compete going forward, it's really emphasizing that. It's the one-on-one contact with the consumer. It's having people in the store that can recommend ingredients and products. I think that's what's going to keep people going back to the store.
Couldn't agree. That's what sets us apart from any other product, really. And they do need, a lot of our products do need an explanation.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that was part of it. And that is what Kristen did get into too, with a lot of talking about the different products there.
Yeah, that was great. We'll share that for everybody. Yeah, that going, was, what Kristen said. We'll share that.
She
for
has
you.
Some great data that we will definitely share with you as well.
So let's talk about DSHEA reform. There's a lot coming up on that. Can you get us up to speed?
So I think people in the industry have been talking about, some people call it DSHEA 2.0, DSHEA reform for several years now. I think there is starting to be a coalescing of what needs to be in a bill. And so I know one of the things that we're working for at CRN is to create that short list of issues. Obviously, mandatory listing is still going to be part of that conversation. FDA, Dr. Califf mentioned it again this morning. So that has to be a part of the conversation. And we're big supporters of it. We think it's just a matter of transparency. But other things like the drug preclusion issue, if we're going to have to fix the statute, this is the place to do it. Let's work it into the legislation. We're trying to figure out ways to get FDA to do inspections smarter. Now, whether that means being able to rely on some of these third-party auditing groups and when they set their priorities, whether it's moving to more remote regulatory assessments where they don't actually have to physically show up in your facility, but they have a legal right to ask for your batch records and manufacturing records without showing up in person. We need to do something there. So I think inspections have to be on the table. The claims issue has to be on the table. We're still dealing with a statute that was pre-internet when they were talking about the physical proximity of the studies to the products. And so, stores could have a separate reading room, but you couldn't put the study on the shelf next to the product. Well, the internet changed all that. Yes. So we need to have some ground rules for how do we talk about scientific information in an internet age. And marketers of products can put these things up on their websites so that when people get to the store, they understand what the product does. So, as I said, we're putting together this short list of what needs to be in the bill. We're starting to actually draft the language. And the idea is that sometime in the next 6 or so to start shopping actual language. We know this is not something that we're going to happen overnight. If you look at major reform for other industries that are regulated by FDA, it usually takes several Congresses to get across the finish line, but we need to start moving in that direction.
So any other final thoughts or anything you'd like to share with us?
Just that we're really excited to be turning 50 and not looking a day over 40.
Yes, you do not look a day over 40, yes.
But I think it's a really nice time for our members to kind of gather here in California and celebrate what we've done for the first 50 years. And I think we are unique among not only trade associations in this industry, but unique among trade associations generally, because we do take the responsibility piece of this very seriously. Yes, we're advocates for the industry. Yes, we want to protect your interest as a supplement marketer or manufacturer. But we also look at this industry through the lens of the consumer, and we want to be sure we're doing the right thing for them. And so this is a chance to really celebrate who we are as a trade association.
I think that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Other thing that made me think, because you've been, I mean, obviously you have a great staff. I think you said you have 20 people or so behind you. How long have you been with Serum?
I've been here 18 years.
Wow. Okay. So you've been
of CRM, and I had some great people before me, so I'm just the steward of the job for now, but it's a great history.
Absolutely.
Thank Excellent. You. Well, yeah, thank you for joining us. And to everybody out there, check out what CRN, you know, they have a newsroom, keep you up to date on all the issues. And of course, we share in the magazine.
Yes.
So thank you for taking the time. And thank you for this wonderful event. We are learning so much, and we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you.